And much has been said in the last week about how, if we are to get through this painful, convulsive moment in our country's history, we're going to have to listen to each other more, be more empathetic to other people's experiences. Well, if you remember your favorite teaching moments from either the book or movie version of To Kill a Mockingbird, it might be the scene where Atticus Finch, played in the film by Gregory Peck, tells young Scout, played by Mary Badham, to be more open to other people's stories, to never judge a book by its cover.
You never really understand a person until you consider things from his point of view.
Sir?
Till you climb inside of his skin, walk around in it.
Let's take that idea a bit further today with a look at how virtual reality is being used to change perspectives and increase empathy. Todd Bookman from The Pulse at Here Now contributor WHYY in Philadelphia has more on this shape-shifting technology.
The headset kind of looks like a pair of ski goggles with a power cord. It blocks out the real world and ushers in a virtual one.
Welcome back to KFM 98.2. This is Derek with your nightly news dish. A police operation.
The first thing you hear in this 10-minute experience is chatter coming from a clock radio. It's in the corner of a rundown apartment with rundown furniture. And then a voice explains that you've just been laid off and you need to sell your couch and TV or you can't make rent. Then the world shifts, and you're living in your car. You spin your head, and the virtual world spins with you. In the back seat, all your possessions in a pile. Suddenly, in the driver's window, there's a flashlight. It's a cop telling you you can't sleep here. On it goes, this first-person look at how someone, really anyone, can become homeless.
We want to see if having this intense, emotionally arousing experience could change the way you think and the way you act towards the homeless.
Elise Ogle of Stanford University helped design this content. It's one of a growing number of virtual reality or VR worlds aimed at changing attitudes and increasing compassion to pulling off that Atticus Finch trick. Jeremy Balanson runs Stanford's Virtual Human Interaction Lab, which is researching these social good experiences. He says the reason VR can work like this is because of the deep immersion you get. Put on the headset and you get lost in a way you generally don't when watching a movie or reading a book.
The front of your brain tells you over and over again, this is not real, it can't be real. But the back of your brain, the one that's charged with basic survival, it can't differentiate. And if it looks real, if it sounds real, it treats the experience as real.
This is sound from another virtual reality tool. It's a combat simulation primarily designed for soldiers battling PTSD. Skip Rizzo with the University of Southern California helped develop it. He says it's not just for former soldiers, though. Their family members can also benefit.
And it kind of opens their eyes to what it was like for, you know, their loved one to have to go through a wartime conflict. When they're riding in a Humvee and all of a sudden an IED goes off and people start screaming and there's gunfire with tracer firing coming from a building, all in VR, all of a sudden they have a little bit of a deeper sense of what their loved one has gone through.
You can read about the battle for Fallujah in the Times or watch the opening scene of Saving Private Ryan and get a feel for what war is like. But VR can take you to the next level, a truer experience. Exactly what that experience does for us in terms of emotional processing and learning and behavior change isn't yet fully understood. And it's unclear how long the empathetic response, if any, may last.
Well, I mean, we've had, 100 years or so of psychology as a science studying human behavior and interaction in the real world. Now we've got to spend a good bit of time studying how humans behave and interact in the virtual world. So we've got a good bit to go, but I think the research will bear fruit.
Creating video games in virtual reality may still attract most of the investment dollars, but there's clearly a push to use this technology for social good. To that end, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation recently awarded Stanford a $300,000 grant to continue studying its homeless scenario. And the United Nations put money behind what's perhaps the gold standard right now for this type of VR. It's a short film called Clouds Over Sidra, about the life of a 12-year-old girl inside a Syrian refugee camp.
We have to play football quickly because there are so many kids waiting to play. Especially now, unlike home here in Zaatari, girls can play football too. That makes us happy.
That project's director, artist Chris Milk, spoke about the potential for the technology during a TED Talk.
So it's a machine, but through this machine, we become more compassionate. we become more empathetic, and we become more connected, and ultimately, we become more human.
More human through shared experience, through stepping into someone else's skin for a while. It all sounds like fiction, but it feels like reality. For Here and Now, I'm Todd Bookman.
So perhaps virtual reality goggles to literally step into someone else's skin, to be virtually in another race. Stay tuned.